Hello and welcome to Akeres HaBayis's Behavior Management and Parenting Shiurim. My name is Sari Arislovitz, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself today, introduce myself. I grew up in the Bar Park section of Brooklyn, went to Beis Yaakov, you know, had everything just fine, grew up with a normal childhood in a stable home. All was well. And I got very used to things going just the way I wanted them to go. I did well in school. I had friends. I was told that I was going to grow up and marry someone who was going to sit and learn Torah, and that I was going to support that man in his quest to learn Torah. And I was all excited and determined to do that. And sure enough, very soon after seminary, I met my husband and got married to him. And we settled in that place over the Verrazano Bridge called Lakewood, New Jersey, where people support their husbands in learning and embrace that type of lifestyle. And things went just the way they were supposed to go, because I was used to things going just the way they're supposed to go. Very shortly after I got married, I gave birth to my first baby, and he was a boy. Just the way it's supposed to be, right? And then 18 months later, right on cue, just the way it's supposed to be, I gave birth to another baby. And she was a girl, of course, because that's the way it's supposed to be, right? But this time, this baby wasn't born into the world exactly the way it was supposed to be. And I'm not going to go into the details, but I got Shigella at the end of the pregnancy, and the baby was born with many disabilities. Particularly deafness and blindness and autistic tendencies and inability to walk or have any motor control. I was a young little girl, and I wasn't accustomed to anything not going the way I wanted it. And for me, this was a huge, huge difficulty, a huge blow, and it took a tremendous amount of koyach and siyata deshmaya and hard work to get past it. Today, my daughter is 27 years old, Kanai Nahara. She hears with cochlear implants. She sees, because Baruch Hashem, she had a few eye operations, and Baruch Hashem, they were able to restore her vision. She has graduated BYA, elementary, high school, seminary, Torah College, and computer graphics. She's married, and she has two wonderful, beautiful, hearing children. So Baruch Hashem, we've come a very, very, very long way. And the purpose of this particular line in Akeres HaBayis is not so much to talk about where I'm coming from, but rather to talk about my introduction to behavior management and parenting and how I got involved with it. Al pi derech hateva, if I had to point a finger at one particular person who saved my life throughout this ordeal, I would point to a woman who is no longer alive. Her name was Adele Markowitz. She was a speech therapist who specialized in hearing impaired children. She was on Park Avenue and 79th Street in Manhattan. And she was extremely expensive, extremely exclusive. You couldn't get to her. But she taught me how to be a parent for special needs children. And her philosophy was one of strong behavior management. And Al Pi Derech HaTeva, that is probably the single most item in my daughter's upbringing that saved her. This woman was a definite shaliach. I commuted to Manhattan every day for 11 years, the first 11 years of my daughter's life, and she definitely set her on her feet. She also set me on my feet. Later on, when my daughter was 9, amongst raising my other children, I made a decision to go back to school to become a therapist. I had learned so much from Adele and from the other therapists in my daughter's life. And in those days, I want to tell you that therapy wasn't sent to the house. There was no such a thing as early intervention. Things weren't paid for. It was a totally different world. I don't want to go into that either. But I did decide that I wanted to do something in the field of helping special needs children. So I went back to school and I became an occupational therapist. I took my bachelor's in the earlier years when my daughter was 9, 10, 11, 12. Took a break, went back for my master's, And now I'm presently in a doctoral online program in University of Oklahoma with a hope in Mitzvah Hashem in 2.5 years or so to get my doctorate in rehabilitation science. All of this is about behavior, about learning how to teach children appropriately, help them feel safe and secure, and at the same time, setting the appropriate limits for them. So this is basically what I had done. This is the background of where I've been for the last 27, 30 years or so of my married life. As I was working with special needs children and the behavior management, and I was having parents come to my office, it started out as one office, eventually it became two offices. I have one in Brooklyn and one in Rockland County in Muncie. And as parents were coming, they kept saying to me, "Sarah, but so much of what you're teaching me about my special needs child applies to my regular children. Why is this only for special needs children?" And my answer was, yes, you're right, because all children can benefit from this. And certainly my own biological children were all raised this way, and they've all, Baruch Hashem, all except for one are married, and they all turned out, Kenai Nahara, beautiful. We have one more left who's not yet on the Shidduch market, but she's on her way. So we eventually, myself and a lot of my parents who became very close to me, decided to put together this method that Hadel had taught me. Because she wasn't a Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, but she was a wonderful human being, I took her method after she passed away and frumerized it, Yiddishized it, Torahized it, and got it to a point where it matched to our lifestyle. Now, it had matched because we were living it and I was raising my children that way, and it worked very, very well. In fact, most of the behavior management does shtim very, very much with what the Aseres HaDibros tells us Kibbud Av V'Aim is supposed to look like. So I got very involved with that, and they begged me, "Please, Sarah, teach this to women." So about 6 years ago, I sat one summer and I read and I read and I read and I read and I wrote and I wrote and I wrote and I wrote, and for the subsequent 18 months after that summer, I produced one course. It was called Behavior Management for the Normally Developing Child, Ages 0 through 10. It is a six-part series. I still teach it today. I teach it in many locations, in Bar Park and in Williamsburg, in Muncie, in Monroe, and in Flatbush. Wherever we gather together a group of 20 women, I teach the course. It's six times. Each time is an hour and a half. It comes with a booklet, like a workbook, 60-page booklet. We go through all of the concepts of behavior management and of parenting. And then I follow up with refresher courses. We do refresher courses either in person when groups get together, or we do them by teleconferencing over the phone. But either way, the course is something that helps many, many parents when they're in situations that they don't know what to do. It helps them figure out what to do. Subsequently, a year or so later, I put together, again, it took me over a year, I put together another course. This time it was titled Behavior Management for the Normally Developing Adolescent, ages 10 to 18, and I began teaching that course as well. There are many, many, many women, it's a total of about 1,300 by now, who have taken these courses in the five sections of the New York metropolitan area. Now, I understand that this recording is headed out across the country, and obviously it's not possible for many, many people to attend courses like this in person. It's only in the location that I live and where the location of where it's comfortable for us. So we made the decision, and I'll admit that it was a decision that I made with a tremendous amount of thought, to get involved with doing this en masse in a recorded fashion. Now, all along when I was teaching my behavior management courses, I always said, I will never ever teach these methods to somebody who I don't know who they are. Somebody who I don't know if they absorbed it correctly, if they learned it correctly, if they're carrying it through correctly. I teach my students, when I teach in the class, how important it is not to share techniques with somebody unless you know, if you don't know who they are and whether or not they're going to carry it over. The analogy I always use is, you know, this is not a recipe for kokosh cake that, you know, you give it to somebody and if it flops, she just throws out the dough and starts again. These are children. These are dairas. We can't mess with them. We can't try things out just for the sake of trying. It's a problem when you try. What happens if you try and you mess up? On whose shoulders is that? So obviously, with great, great, great trepidation, I am here today introducing myself and being willing to share the courses that I've been teaching for so many years. And the reason, and the only reason, that I'm willing to do it this way is because we've set this thing up that you will have a way to be in touch with me. And that's extremely important. I need to know that each and every one of you that hooks into this and listens to this is willing to take achrayus, that if I don't understand something that Sari Yaroslavitz is saying, if something that she is saying doesn't sit right with me, if I heard somebody else say something else, I take it on my achrayus to get in touch with her hotline, with her email, and make sure I have it clear. Certainly, before I quote what she says to anybody, I'm certainly going to do my very best to get it from the horse's mouth, that's an expression, to get it from the horse's mouth first. In other words, I need you to be a critical listener. Don't just listen. Don't just listen as if it's Tiras Maisha. I'll probably act as if it's Tiras Maisha. I'm going to teach that way. But I expect you to communicate to me if there's something that you're not getting or if there's something that doesn't feel right or sit right. Now, I'm going to repeat this number many, many times because it's extremely important to me that people get in touch with me. The number is 951-262-3570. Easy to remember, 35 is half of 70. Okay, so it's 951-262-3570, and the extension is 721. When you dial in on extension 721, you're going to hear my voice. I'm going to say, "Hi, this is Ari Yaroslavitz. Welcome to the Behavior Management and Parenting Hotline. Please leave a message after the beep." Beep. And then you go ahead and leave a message. You will never get a human on that line. That line is not intended for people to pick it up. You will always get a message. Leave a message. The message will be confidential. It will only be listened to by either myself or my secretary. Nobody else will hear it. It's on a computer. Your voice does not resonate all over anybody's house or living room or office or anywhere. It's going straight into cyberspace, into the computer. You do not have to worry about talking on it. And leave a clear message, something that's bothering you, something that annoyed you, something that you didn't understand. And I will address it, obviously confidentially without saying your name, but I will address it next time. If it's something that I feel is extremely urgent, I will probably have my secretary call you back and give you a message of what I think you should do. Sometimes people call me with situations, and I know just from the description of the situation that that parent or child might need professional help, in which case I would recommend that. We're Baruch Hashem in a stage where people are less and less and less and less and less frightened of the word professional and of the word help. And we're more and more and more and more focused on helping our children, because that, in the end of the day, is what counts. So Baruch Hashem, we're moving ahead in that direction. Another way to reach me, besides for 951-262-3570 extension 721, is by emailing me at a special email account that we opened up just for this purpose, and it's S-Y-A-R-I, that's S-Yari, Yari short for Yaroslavitz, 613, because you know why, at AOL.com. SYARI613 at AOL.com. Again, SYARI613 at AOL.com. Anytime, day or night, type in your emails and we will do the very best to either get back to you by email if we feel that the situation warrants extra care, or to answer your questions, to use your questions and answer them in the format of the course. It happens to be that the best questions, questions that come in that somehow could help all the other listeners, those are the questions that I'm going to do my very best to incorporate into the shiurim, because I find that that is extremely, extremely helpful. Unfortunately, you may not hear enough about what other people go through, but one of the best parts of the courses in person, if you take 20 women and you sit them in a room six times and they all get a chance to ask questions and you get to see that you're not the only one where macaroni and cheese is flying across your supper table, when you get to see that you're not the only one who's dealing with things that have to be dealt with, that alone helps people feel better. Now, when I give the courses privately to groups of 20 or 25 women, I open up my phones to them to ask personal questions during the 6 weeks that the course runs, and for one time after every refresher. Now, obviously, we can't manage that because it's not physically possible, but that still places the achrayus squarely upon your shoulders that if you participate in this shiurim line, I expect you to participate in the hotline as well. And for those of you who are not listening to this first introduction, who missed the introduction, for the second, third, fourth, fifth, 12th time I speak, I probably will reiterate this concept over and over and over again. This is not a one-way street. This is two-way traffic. If you're picking up the phone to participate in the shiur itself, I expect you, I hold you responsible to participate in the hotline as well. Parenting cannot and should not be taught one way. Okay, these are not recipes. These are diaries. And nobody, not even me, wants to take achrayus for the future of your diaries without knowing that I can help you completely. So please, I beg of you, don't be shy. Don't think you're bothering me. You're not. It makes me very, very happy to get the feedback. It helps very, very much. Okay, I think I stressed that enough. Now I'm going to spend the next couple of minutes just describing to you a little bit, even though it's hard to do in just a few short minutes, but describing to you a little bit what is my course about. What is my course about and what makes it different from other courses, and certainly what makes it different from the secular way of parenting. One of the main problems that we are facing today is that we are raising our children in a democratic country. Now, as much as democracy is a convenient bracha that the Ribbono Shel Olam has given us, in that it allows us to stay from in this country, and for this we call it a Medina Shel Chesed, and we thank the Ribbono Shel Olam for it every day. Democracy in and of itself, freedom in and of itself, is directly opposed to Derech HaTorah. So you sat in third grade social studies and they taught you that freedom was a good thing. Why is freedom a good thing? Because it allows you to do what you want, say what you want, wear what you want, come when you want, go when you want, be what you want, believe what you want, freedom of religion, freedom of speech. Remember that? You sat in third grade, they taught you that? In the yeshivas, they taught you that. And they identified for you that freedom is a good thing. Now, they didn't teach you right. Because freedom is a convenient fact that the United States of America has a free, gives us a free culture, a free country, is a convenient thing from a Yidden. The problem is that we do not believe in doing what you want. We have a Torah, and the Torah tells us 613 times over, very, very clearly, what we may and what we may not do. And Ein Lecha Ben Chayrin Ella, Misha Isaac B'Torah B'Mitzvahs. The definition of Chayrus in and of itself, according to the Torah, is the person who keeps Torah Mitzvahs. So having things the way you want, or living in an environment that advocates having things the way you want, is a problem. Because what we're teaching our children doesn't match to the environment. So much of what this parenting course is going to be about is going to be about getting this message across to children early on. Getting it across calmly, gently, lovingly, but without sacrificing the message in and of itself. Who is the ultimate parent anyway? Who is the perfect parent? And I always ask this question to the women in my class. That's the first question I ask. Who is the ultimate parent? And out of every 20, one raises a hand and usually gets it. The Ribbono Shel Olam. The Ribbono Shel Olam is a perfect parent. What makes him perfect? Well, he's our parent. He's our parent, and whatever he does is perfect. So we're going to nash from him. We're going to watch him. We're going to learn from his parenting, the way we are his children and the way he parents us. We're going to try to learn from his techniques. Now, one of the main things we know about Hashem, one of the main things we know about the Ribbono Shel Olam, if you look in his Torah, is that he combines two things. Midas HaDin, you learned about this in school, Midas HaDin, and midas harachamim, right? He uses, sometimes he's tough with us, sometimes he uses din, and sometimes he uses rachamim, and sometimes he's a bal rachamim. And he combines these two emotions to create this perfect, beautiful relationship that we have with the Ribbono Shel'olam. Now, it's hard to understand the relationship that we have with the Ribbono Shel'olam, this parent of ours. It's very hard. We can't see him. It's hard to relate to him. But if you listen closely and pay attention and watch the cues, you probably have come across him in some manner, shape, or form. But that's okay. Let's say you have trouble understanding the relationship you have with the Ribbono Shel'olam. Bring it down a step. Bring it down a step and imagine, close your eyes, imagine if your kitchen door opened and in walked your Rebbe. In walked your Rosh Yeshiva. What would you do? What would you feel? How excited would you get? You'd jump to your feet. There would be a healthy combination of yira. You'd be somewhat in awe. I'm not going to use the word frightened, but some would be. And at the same time, you'd be thrilled. The Rebbe's in my kitchen. The Rebbe's in my house. The Rosh Hashiva's in my house. You'd be thrilled. So, if the Ribbono Shel'olam would walk into your kitchen, kaviyachol, you'd be petrified out of your mind. But at the same time, you'd also think, oh my heavens, I can't believe this is happening to me. You'd be very thrilled and very excited. Kaviyachol, kaviyachol, kaviyachol. Imagine if your father or mother walks into your kitchen. Technically, the emotions should be exactly the same. If the job was done correctly, the emotions should be exactly the same. Just maybe scale down a little bit. You should feel a certain yira. You should feel a certain awe. You should jump to your feet, according to Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, Kof Mem Gimel. You should jump to your feet. And at the same time, you should be thrilled. Mommy's here, Tati's here. And those of you whose parents have passed, you probably can understand how special that would be. So the relationship that a child feels toward a parent is a mixture. It's a mixture of ava, love, and it's a mixture of yira, fear. You cannot raise a child on ava alone, on love alone, because there'll be no structure. You cannot raise a child on yira alone. You can't raise a child, obviously, with fear alone. The ticket is to combine them. And because they're two very polar emotions, they're two emotions that are opposite each other, love and fear, they are very difficult to combine. The Ribbono Shel'olam combines them, no problem, because he's above emotion. He's lamala from emotion. And because he's above emotion, he has no problem putting together midas hadin and midas harachamim just like that. We're going to do our very best. And what my course breaks down is how to help you combine ahava and yira. And I'm going to use those terms over and over and over again. Ahava, love, yira, fear. Your children should both love you and fear you. Tyra says so. We're going to talk about that next time. But the children should respect you, love you, and fear you. And we are going to spend time teaching you how to elicit, in clear techniques, teaching you how to elicit those types of feelings in children. Remember one last thought before we part for today. If the Ribbono Shel'olam is such a perfect parent, if he's the ultimate parent, so why doesn't he diaper his own babies? Why does he need us? Why didn't he just make us like the fish, where he just makes babies and takes care of all of them himself? Why did he set it up with this whole hierarchy, grandparents, parents, children, great-grandchildren? Why does he do it this way? And those of you who have sat in class and been asked this question, why did the Ribbono Shel'olam make you with parents? Why did the Ribbono Shel'olam give you parents? Why didn't he just create you? And the answer to that is through being mechabed parents, through the first 13, 14, 15, 16 years of life, where a child learns correctly to be mechabed parents, through that a child learns to be mechabed Ribbono Shel'olam. A child learns what we call Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. accepting the all, the burden of Malchus Shemayim, of the kingdom of Shemayim, of the kingdom of heaven. And once a person goes through that childhood and learns the appropriate way to be mechabed an authority, to honor an authority figure such as a parent, that child will have no trouble moving on to Kabbalah's all Malchus Shemayim, being able to accept the authority of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Unfortunately, when children go through childhood and don't learn that bechlal, then Kabbalah's ol Malchus Shemayim, accepting the Ribbono Shel Olam as an authority, is going to be a little bit more difficult. So, especially because we're living in America 2010, where the concept of authority is a completely foreign concept in the outside secular world, we have to be extra careful to keep Kabbalah's ol, accepting an ol, accepting of a yoke. That's the literal translation. Accepting of a burden, of an authority, as an extremely important concept that will lead that child from childhood till Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim. Again, I'm hoping to hear from you throughout the time that we're together. Please feel free to call 951-262-3570, extension 721, and leave any message you'd like for me, or email SYARI 613 @AOL.com. Have a good day.